carry on in the mindset of that, but something I hit on last week was when reasons become excuses. Okay, we all have a reason for why we do something, don't we? Our pastor in North Carolina, she grew up, you know, we always had a little bit of sweet tea up here, but, you know, I didn't drink sweet tea like I do now or did until I went south. And our pastor's wife down there, she said, you know, it's a part of our staple. And she said, you know, so I grew up watching my mom boil her tea on the pot or on the stove, and she'd take her pan, she'd boil her water, and she'd put this ceramic plate over top of it. And she said, so when I grew up, I did this same exact thing. I'm going to make it the same way Mom did, right? We do a lot of that, don't we? And finally, you know, I think Mrs. Arnold was actually at her house, and she said, why are you putting that plate on your pan? She said, because you did, Mom. And I there had to be a secret to it. She's like, honey, I lost the lid. See, so the reason why she did it was because her mom did it. She had a perfectly good lid to do it just as well. And so a lot of times we do things because somebody else did them. Great-grandpa did it that way. Grandpa did it that way. Dad did it that way. You know, to be honest with you, Joshua was telling me yesterday, he said, you know, the smaller series tractors for John Deere, you know, your lawn-type tractors, he said, they are now totally computerized. He said, they're just like your car. We can plug the computer in. It'll throw the code. It'll tell us. So, by the way, for those of you that are mowing your yards on low RPMs, turn it all the way up. They're designed to run on full, okay? He said, people call in and they say, well, you know, he said, one of the questions we can ask is, how fast are you running the motor? Are you running it full throttle? Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, we can now plug in the computer and it'll tell us how fast you've been running it. And so, you know, back in the day, you know, all lawnmowers were the same. Motors didn't last real long. I remember as a kid, the mowers, good night, I think most of them came out of the junkyard. We had a block of wood stuck down in the choke just to hold it open. There was never a breather on it. And it had a piece of pipe sticking out for the muffler. So if anybody wonders why, you know, it seems like I might be a little lost in hearing, that might have something to do with it. But, you know, we can't do the things the same way we did back then. They won't work. And, you know, I've noticed, you know, you've probably seen it for years now, that it's commonplace that, you know, for $100 an hour, you can go sit on a couch and you can blame somebody else for your problems. Now, I may have a reason why I act the way I act or do things the way I do, good or bad. However, I am responsible for my actions. Okay? I'm responsible. No matter what somebody said or did to me, I'm responsible. Jesus said we will be judged by what we say and what we do. Everybody likes to think, well, I'm going to go to heaven. It's going to be grace. Just keep in mind, Jesus said you will be judged. And everybody's running around today, well, I don't know how to do right. Well, first off, the Holy Spirit was given to us. Again, I'm going to keep pounding this in. The Holy Spirit was not given to us to make us goofy, but to lead us and guide us into all truth. Of course we don't know how. If you were not trained how to do something, you don't know how to do it. I was never trained how to build things at home, even though I stole my dad's tools all the time. I can't tell you how many hacksaws are over the hill in the woods because we thought it would cut down a tree. And I promise you, halfway through a 3-inch tree, we gave up. Now I understand why they didn't cut. But that was something that my dad never took the time to do, was to teach us about the tools. And so one of the things I did as my sons were growing, I remembered stealing my dad's tools and they would be gone. And I said, I'm not going to have my sons stealing my tools. So I started buying them their tools. For Christmas, they'd get some tools for Christmas or birthday. I would start buying them things across time so that they would leave my stuff alone. And, my oldest son works for John Deere now. Don't know what the second one's going to do yet, but he's got his own tools, don't you? He still steals mine. So I began to be proactive on it, not realizing that, to be honest with you, that was the right way. That was actually what we're going to call the godly way. Even though I wasn't raised or trained that way, I wasn't trained how to do drywall, how to build anything. The first time I ever got to use a circular saw, my dad had this old one that they threw away on the job because it was burned up. I finished the job. I burned it the rest of the way up. And, you know, that was the first time, and I was a junior in high school. I was 17. So I didn't have a lot of building experience. Today I've built the equivalent of a house onto my house. And I've done a lot of different things, but it's because I've changed. I wanted to know the right way to do something, so I started doing it. I started learning. I started reading videos, pictures. Pictures are great for me. I just wish the school books had more pictures. And I wish the movie The Scarlet Letter had come out, even though I'd have still failed the course because, as I understand, the movie didn't match the book at all. But today, so many people, well, I don't know how to do this. You know, you just don't understand. I wasn't raised that way. Are you not a Christian? I'm looking around in here, and I believe everybody in here is a Christian. The Bible says that if you are in Christ, and I'm actually getting way ahead in my notes because this was one of the scriptures, that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The word does not mean that it's talking about quality. Your quality has changed. You've become something new, something different. And when that happens in you, everything changes. I had somebody ask me one time, how do I know how to do what's right when I've never seen it done? I had a real simple solution for it. If you know what they did was wrong, do the opposite. It's not real hard, but it's a mind change. We have to wrap our mind completely around something different. And so, you know, today we got people, well, they go, they spend $100 an hour, they sit on a couch, and they say, you know, doctor, you know, my mom, my dad, my aunt, my uncle, my brothers, my teachers, everybody else is to blame for their decisions but them. I'll tell you right now, I'm to blame for my decisions. My reasoning for making those decisions fall on something else. But I will no longer allow why I did those to be my excuse. You know, today in our society, we have this thing, ignorance is no excuse, right? If you go and you pull a U-turn in Columbus, is it legal? No, it's not. And I will tell you the reason why it's not legal. Because as soon as you go into the city of Columbus, on one of the side streets, particularly 161, there's a sign that says, no U-turn. Because that one sign is there, it's citywide. Even though the street you're on may not be marked, it is a citywide law because of that one sign. And they will tell you this famous words, ignorance is no excuse. But officer, I didn't know the speed limit was only 35 through here. Didn't you figure it out when you were passing everybody like they were standing still? Ignorance is no excuse. Although I have had one person, and I think they actually asked the state patrolman about this over at River Valley, when you're going through their school zone, anybody ever noticed that it says, during restricted times? Can anybody tell me what the times are? Yeah. Well, whenever there's activity at the school is what they're going to tell you. But I guess my argument is going to be, my school starts at a different time. Yeah, see? So they're still going to give you the ticket, regardless. And I usually remember halfway through to slow down. Oh, hey. So, you know, there's a lot of different things. But nonetheless, they are going to say, ignorance is no excuse. You have to call the school board and find out. I don't know what a $60 sign is preventing them from putting it up, but because that's about what it would cost. Yeah, let me get into the scriptures that I got. So let's go to Luke. We'll start there. Luke chapter 12. And go to verse 42 to start off with. Jesus has been giving a parable of the faithful and the evil servant. Verse 42 he starts and he says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant when his master will find him so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." So in other words, if God tasks you with something, if you're a parent, and he tasks you with children, he's going to expect you to raise those children right. He expects it. But I don't know how. Find out. We've actually disabled our children today by doing everything for them. The internet, honestly, has disabled them. They don't know how to look up information. Just Google the word and it comes up. But everybody in here, maybe a handful of you, can't remember an encyclopedia. I remember thinking, how'd they gather up all this information? Good night, now the web just blows that away. But people don't know how, in the body of Christ, to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because they become superstitious. I'm going to throw that word in there. If a prophet doesn't come, or if the pastor doesn't come and tell them something, they don't listen. And, or if the Bible doesn't tell them. The Bible, I said this a couple weeks ago, and I know it probably because I've heard people, every problem you got's in the Bible. Well, you'll find the answer there. But to buy a new car or not buy a new car is not in the Bible. Whether I should pay my electric bill or not is not in the Bible. Which, just so you know, if you want lights, you need to pay your electric bill. Let's carry on. But, in verse 45, if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come to on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will, there was something in the back of this man's brain that said, this is not right. I should not be acting like this. See, we've all, even before you even got saved, I've heard people say, something told me not to do that. And if you're a Christian, you now recognize the voice. Somebody told me not to do that. It's the Holy Spirit. But if we don't listen, we're ignoring His will. We knew, I don't know how many times I've done something and I was like, I knew better than to do that. I knew that was going to happen. Why did I do that? And I just grabble it. The only person I can gripe and complain to is myself. Why did I all that? Now I got an hour's extra work. I've told you about Norm Abrams. He's a master woodcrafter on this old house. He builds cabinetry and all kinds of beautiful furniture. But when he was starting out, he wasn't a master. He was an apprentice. He was still practicing, still learning. And where he lived, he worked for a carpenter who did a lot of boats. And they had worked all day, and his master had one rule: we quit at 4:30. I don't care what you got left to do. We quit at 4:30. Because he said, when you go above and you start getting tired, you start making stupid mistakes. And my wife has been very good about asking me that a lot lately. If I make a mistake, she's like, don't you think it's time to quit? And anyhow, so Norm got to 4:30. His master carpenter had left and told him to quit at 4:30. And he's like, but I'm 15 minutes away from finishing. And he's redone this entire interior of this boat in teak. In teak wood. Very expensive. And he said, I've got 15 minutes of work done. And he said, I was almost done. And he said, I made a mistake. And I ruined half of the work we had spent all day doing. Because I wouldn't quit. So what he knew, what his master wanted, and what he'd done were two entirely different things. But what it did for him is he said, to this day, I quit at 4:30. I stop. I don't go on because now I'm tired. I'm not thinking clearly. And this servant here knew his master's will. Well, my master's delaying in coming. So he starts getting drunk. Now, just so you know, the way I read this is a pastor. That's the way I see this. I don't know if there's any other, a whole lot of other interpretations that you can get to it, but I see this as pastors today because I'm hearing it a lot. They're doing the same thing. All Jesus is delayed in coming. You know, grace, 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 grace. It's sloppy grace is what they're preaching. So we're just going to start acting like the world. We're going to act like the world. We're going to do things like the world. There's not any difference between us and the world. Now, there are some things I will agree on that. And again, it's not about legalism, but it's about what ends up happening because of it. When we start abusing those around us, there's a problem. But let's carry on here. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, I want you to hear this, he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. Did y'all read what I just read in there? It didn't come out and scream it, but what it said in between the lines was, even though you didn't know, you will be held accountable. So in other words, if we know better ways, we'll use raising our children. If I know that I didn't like this way, why would I continue to treat my children the way I was treated? Just because it's the way I knew. I am a new creation in Christ. I am required to change. I'm a better quality. Not that we're belittling our grandparents, our parents, or anybody before us. They refuse to change. We can change. If I were to say, well, I'm just going to be just like my grandpa or my great-grandpa and all that, well, what we've come to find out about them wasn't really all that well. They weren't the nicest guys. The pictures, oh, yeah, they looked all innocent. You know, my grandpa was 60 years old, looked like he was 90, shriveled up and wrinkled. But then we later learned how he really was. He was an alcoholic. His father was an alcoholic. And we looked at all the pictures of great-grandma Waddell. I looked at him like, didn't that woman ever smile? People did smile in pictures even back in the day. Not one is this woman ever smiling. And from what I've heard about my great-grandfather, I understand why. I understand why his sons turned out the way they did. And now knowing what I know about my grandfather, I know why his sons and daughters have turned out the way they did. He got saved late in life. He did go to heaven. But all of his children were pretty much grown. Some of them have gone off and said, well, I will not spank my children because they got a beating they felt was undeserved. Jimmy Evans, he's a marriage counselor. He's on TV. What's the show? Marriage Today. Really a great show. I love hearing. He's a great preacher. Teaches the truth. But he's got this book. It's called, I don't even remember what it's called, but it's on unholy oaths or vows. Unholy vows. Well, I was beaten as a child. I won't spank my children. Let me tell you this way. The Bible says if you spare the rod, in other words, if you hold it back, you will spoil them. You will ruin them. There is a balance. When you're a new creation in Christ, you have to find that balance. And one of the things that I've taught is if you are angry, I mean, you are seeing red right then, walk away. Just walk away from the situation. Come back when you can spank them, still smile. But if you are blowing off steam as you speak, you're too hot. Walk away from it because you will abuse them. Restrict. Restrict how many swats. My boys were three. I do remember a couple times it was more than that. But only a couple. I tell you to walk away because you don't know what you're going to do. I watched a Malcolm in the Middle. And they always showed a little clip in the first part. And that was actually just hilarious. It was as hilarious as the whole show. But Reese, the number one troublemaker now, he's getting a haircut. He's all about his hair. He's getting a haircut. And Dewey, the youngest, who's always picked on and beat up, especially by Reese, comes in. Mom's cutting the hair. And, oh, by the way, Mom, did you hear what Malcolm did? And he tells her this big, long story that just got her mad. He knew it would make her mad. She's furious. And she's like, let's get this haircut done. And Reese has done her, Mom, stop and count to 10. Stop and count to 10. As she starts to cut his hair. Because we don't control ourselves when we're angry. We forget that. We forget there's self-control. It is spoken of in the Bible. As a matter of fact, it is spoken of for the elders, the leaders of the church in particular. They are to be full of self-control. No self-control, you don't belong there. I watched in horror one day as I was riding to church with my pastor because I was spending the night with his son. As he pulled up the boy that was about 3 years older than me, pulled his shirt up over his head and beat him with a branch before church and threw him in the back of the truck with us. That was a real pleasant ride to church. We didn't get along with him when he was in a good mood. So you can imagine the scarring back there. But today people say, well, because I was beaten, I won't spank. Well, I was made to work. I'm not going to make my kid work for anything. Listen, work does not hurt your children. My boys work, and I mean they work. I let them have their money. They pay for certain expenses. They wanted a cell phone. You're paying the bill. They've paid their own bills. You want to do this? You pay the bill. I will provide your clothes, your food, your shelter, your gifts. You want a new shotgun? You go buy the shotgun. You want a motorcycle? You go buy the motorcycle. I let you keep your money. You do that. Now, if we were Amish, well, I'd get all the money. I farm my boys out, I'd get all the money. I know Bob, when he hires the Amish to come do some work for him, he slips the boys themselves a couple bucks because he knows where the money's going. But it's part of their society. But we have made unholy oaths or vows. And the problem is, we've created a problem for ourselves. Well, I didn't get to do this, so my kids are. Well, you know, I've looked back at some of the things I didn't get to do, and they weren't all that bad. But I've made sure my children had the opportunities to do things. Jesse decided this year he didn't want to play football. He said, I'm tired. I don't like the game anymore. Very well. It's your call. It's your head anyhow. I'm not going to push him. But he wanted to run track. Well, there you go. Run track. But this servant, this is the sad part, when we know to do good. I believe it's James 5:17. Hang on a second. Yeah, or James 4:17. Go ahead and bring that one up. It said, if you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin to you. If you know to do good. If you know to love your children, you love your children. If you don't love your children, listen, the Bible also says if you don't spank your son, you hate him. Now, I'll tell you what I've learned in my experience is there came a point I didn't have to spank them anymore. The older they got, it wasn't that big of an issue. If I kept the mentality that, I think I watched one show and he was talking about telling his dad something about beating him at 17, spanking him at 17. Listen, a 17-year-old can take a beating all day long. I can vouch. That doesn't mean anything. So, I just changed how I disciplined. All right, well, give me your phone. You have no TV privileges. No, you ain't going anywhere. Because I tell them, you can go places. You can have friends over. But you're grounded now. It just changes a little bit. I still discipline my children. But I do not fear for their eternal salvation by being foolish. Because while I have watched the show Malcolm in the Middle, and there's parts of it I think are hilarious, I sat and watched the show, and one day I told Angela, I said, here is an example of a family without Christ. This is what it looks like when you do not have Christ in your life. No discipline, overbearing and no backbone. There's no balance. When you are balanced, you're in Christ. You know how to do good. I love my children. Doesn't mean we agree with everything we do or that they do, but you still love them. But going back and throwing it back to us, just because we didn't receive this as a child is not a reason for us to withhold it from our own children. Just because a pastor did this to us in one church is no reason not to trust a pastor here. And I appreciate every last one of you for trusting me. Because as I've shared many times before, the majority of the people in this church have been bounced around in churches, and people and pastors have said and done stupid things. And that's why we can chalk it up. That is what I pretty much chalk it all up to. People are people, and people are stupid. We all do it. Anybody in here who's not ever had a brain cramp moment, feel free to come up and teach the message. But we've all had those moments where we did a bit major brain cramp and hope nobody else saw it. But we can no longer continue walking around blaming the generation before us for our problems. You know what? I understand where we are now is because of this and because we can look back and we can just follow the line back and we can see what has taken place. Well, we blamed it on rock and roll. Rock and roll didn't do it. Well, we're going to blame it on prosperity. Prosperity didn't do it. It's a lack of love. Cut and dry. I shared with you one time that my mom had finally opened up about something, and she said, you know, the reason we didn't hug you guys and kiss on you guys was because some evangelists came to the church we were going to at the time and said that this leads to child molestation. Now, I would really like to, I don't know who the minister was, but I really would like to find them and just slap them a couple times for good measure. No, it doesn't. Let's look at the examples of a father in the Bible. We have the father of the prodigal son who gave his son half of his half of the inheritance and let him walk off, knowing what he was going to do with it. But every day he stood above on the roof of his house and he looked and watched for his son to return. And when he saw that familiar gate coming across the horizon, you know your kids, you know their walk. Anytime Jesse was on the sidelines, we knew exactly how to find him. He had one hip cocked, or he was like this. He was the only one, and I think he does it too, so it's kind of a familiar thing. It's a family thing. We know our son. When we were looking for runners, when we were watching Joshua run cross country, and they'd be a ways off, because eventually I said, I've done enough running. And we'd, especially in Fredericktown, I mean, there ain't no way I'm running across that dam. We'll stand down at the bottom and watch. But they were a long ways away. We could tell Jason. We could tell Joshua. We could tell just by their stride who they were and what place they were in. And this father saw that boy coming across that hill, and he identified immediately, and he dropped everything he was doing and took off running. And he grabbed him, he hugged him, and he kissed him. So where do we get off saying that if you hug and kiss your children, they're going to be molested? What happened was somebody here was justifying their sin of not showing affection. Well, they're just, you know, there's another show I like to watch. It's called Gold Rush. I have no idea why I yell at them most of the time. You idiot! You morons! And, but anyhow, there's one particular person on there, Tony Beats. He's a Viking, foul mouth, every other word they're bleeping. You would think he would be the coldest hearted man in the Klondike. But when they've gone behind the scenes, his children have said the opposite. Oh, he's hard on us to work. He makes us work. But like as one of them said, how many 16-year-olds go out and buy a brand new four-wheel drive truck from the money they earned for their first vehicle? He paid them well, but they said, when it comes to a father, you won't find a better. He's tough, but he loves us. He hugs us. He kisses us. And how do we justify treating other people bad just because we were treated bad? The Bible doesn't say that if you do unto others before they do unto you. No, the Bible says, do unto others as you want them to do to you. This is why this cycle keeps going on, because it's still alive and well in the church. Because our reasons have become our excuses, and excuses are traps. Why did you do this? How many of you ever gave the answer? I don't know. I gave it every time they asked me why I did something. I don't know. I had a reason why I did it, but it didn't matter. At that point, I didn't know why I did it. Why are you speeding? One of these days, I'm just going to be honest. Because it's fun? Well, that's what I'm thinking about doing. But then again, God has also been showing me mercy. The last time I got pulled over, I got mercy. The first time ever I got mercy. Every other time, the last one pulled up, he said, the reason I'm giving you a ticket today, he wasn't even to my window yet. I'm like, dang. He had me pegged, all right. I've butchered my notes. I actually have a few. Leviticus 5:17. In the law, I'll read it right there. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Now there's no mercy there, is there? Here's where we forget. We have mercy. We live in mercy and grace today. We no longer live by the commandments. We have the Holy Spirit living within us to tell us, change this. Change your attitude about this. Change your attitude about that. There's so many things I've changed my attitudes about that, you know, even from when Joshua was little, I know there was things growing up that, you know, I didn't do perfect, but I did what I thought. And as I changed, we changed them. And I've tried to explain that I was just doing the best I could and was trying to change in midstream so that his life wasn't totally crap. But today, we live with mercy and grace. And the problem with the message today with mercy and grace is everybody's like, just do whatever you want. No, you can't do whatever you want. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And anything we're to do in love and by love. So, in reality, you know, living by the law was one thing. You could go, you could read it, you could have knowledge. Just like the times. If they're there, you know what time you have to be at 20 miles an hour. But, with the Holy Spirit, here's what the Holy Spirit says. This is a great example. I'm glad it worked out. Anytime there's activity there, you slow down. See, it's actually a little harder to live by grace. And when I say harder, I mean you've got the Holy Spirit there all the time. And you say or you do something stupid and the Holy Spirit's like right there. You won't find a commandment against saying or doing something stupid in the law. Well, that's not against the law. That's why particularly Jews, some of them are very crass. And it's because they fall back on law. It's not against the law. I'll be this way. The Holy Spirit tells us to be gentle and to give no offense to Greek or to the Gentile or to the Jew. Actually, I think it says Greek or the Jew. But it means the Jew and everybody else. So in other words, we're supposed to treat all people with respect and dignity. And, you know, most of you today, you've learned this. You know, I know those of you that were raised in church or you had parents that taught you this. You have to give respect before you get respect. This is not what's being taught in the generation today. You dissing me, it means disrespecting. You dissing me? Well, when you earn the respect that I need to give you, I'll give it to you. But here's the thing. We need to give the respect first. So if they want respect, they have to give it. You know, it was really easy to walk around in the Marine Corps as an NCO and, you know, hey, you know, there goes an NCO. You know, you got to watch them because that's the first one. Disrespect to an NCO. It could be anything. It could look at you cross-eyed, flip you off or whatever. And if that was the case, I had roommates that were going to get burned because every time I turned around, they were giving me the bird. But, and disrespecting me. But it was law. And I decided I didn't want to be one of those that said, just because I've got stripes on my shoulders, you need to respect me. I wanted them to respect me. So I started listening to what they had to say. And if what they had to say meant anything, we could do anything. So any of the guys that were in my unit, they learned to respect. They learned that if they gave me the respect, they were going to get the respect. And like I said, a couple of them, they've retired out of the Marine Corps. So evidently, maybe I did something right, maybe one thing right that helped them. I would hope. At least that's what I'd tell myself. Helps me sleep at night. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17, it goes back and it says that if any of us are in Christ, we're a new creation. The moment that I said yes to Jesus, I became a new creation. I became better in quality of a person. And I will be honest with you, I think the number one, not number one, but one of the biggest reasons people don't want to come serve Christ is because of the people. It was even Gandhi who said, "Your Christ I like, it's the Christians I don't." Now, stupid move, Gandhi. You don't go serve demon gods and reject Christ. However, he had a valid point. We're supposed to become a new creation. We're supposed to be better people. And I understand, we're all at different levels on this growth chart. Well, Pastor, you know, I've done it this way for so many years. You know what? You're still breathing, right? There's time to change. You can change anything. You changed your underwear last night, didn't you? I hope, for your sake, and the person sitting next to you. I hope you did. I hope you showered. I hope you... So you changed something. There are more people so adamant on keeping their house in order, but yet they refuse to change anything in their life to keep it in order. You actually have to change your life in order to keep your house, this house. When people talk about you, and you know they do, and listen, gossip is a fine line to walk. I was thinking about the other day, it's like, how do you get information then? So every time I watch the news, I'm gossiping? Because if we're going to look at it, that's what it is. And I just determined it this way. Listen, if I got to talk to somebody or get information about somebody, I want to be able to go to them and say, why are you such a jackwagon? This is what I'm hearing about you. Straighten up and fly right. Oh, well, Pastor, you know, this is the way I was raised and I ain't going to change. Well, you know what? It's time you change. For the love of God, change. Let him change you. Quit throwing it back on, well, we just didn't know. It's not an excuse. By the way, Leviticus 5:17 is why we have ignorance is no excuse. They looked back and they said, well, God evidently thought it was good enough. We'll make it law too. But if we really live by love, I'm going to look out for my neighbor. You know, a couple weeks ago, my neighbor across the road, he finally retired, and he says, I am going south, I am traveling, and I'm doing whatever I want from this day forward. And so they had gone on a cruise. I knew they were going to be gone for a while. I think they were going back to back on cruises. And anyhow, we're all sitting in the living room, and suddenly we see lights going up their driveway. Well, you know, if you pay attention to the break-ins around, it's like, we'll keep an eye on it. And then the lights just kind of stopped, and things got a little weird. And so I called their son and said, hey, I said, is there supposed to be anybody at your mom and dad's house? And Steve said, well, actually, they're supposed to be back sometime today. I don't know when. I said, well, just giving you a heads up, there's headlights at your mom and dad's house. And he called over, and it was them. But the next day, I get a phone call from the neighbor across the street, and he said, I want to thank you for looking out. Not everybody pays attention to that. It's not a big deal for me. How big of a deal is it to notice our neighbors? How many times have we heard that somebody was dead in their apartment for weeks? Didn't you notice the mail piling up? Are we so focused on our little life that we didn't notice the mail flowing over? Why didn't the mailman say something? We have to wait until the stench gets bad enough. We're so focused on us that we forget it's not about us. So if we focus on other people, God will work this thing out. But we can't keep sitting here and saying, well, you know, I didn't have it like that. You know what? There's a lot of things I didn't have when I was a kid. And I did make myself one vow. They will have the opportunities that I didn't. And I'll tell you, the first thing I did as far as making the opportunities is I flushed religious ideologies. I've been flushing them, still working on them. Because I didn't realize how so ingrained I had become. But eventually I started realizing I was holding my boys to a different standard. I said, I can't hold them to a standard different than myself. Well, I can hold myself to the standard, but I'm holding them to a standard that adults can't maintain. And God began to show me I need to just trust Him when they're out, you know. I can't control. I'm not going to walk around with my thumb on them all the time. Now they screw up. Well, they get to deal with the repercussions. That's all there is to that, right, parents? As I heard a police officer once said, I give you just enough rope to hang yourself, and when you're hung, you're hung. But I want the body of Christ to finally wake up and quit using their reasons as excuses for not changing. Well, my mom, she was an alcoholic. Well, I understand why you do this. Quit using it as an excuse, because all it is a chain to yesterday. And then don't turn around and say, well, you know, I'm going to get so legalistic that I'm going to become judgmental. As I said, the best place to drive is in the middle of the road, unless there's traffic coming at you. At least in the middle of your lane. But if you ask God to help you and to change you, He will do it. And I'm going to promise you, you're going to be praying, God, change this person, change this person, change this person, and God's not going to change that person. He's going to change you. Because that person isn't going to change. And if you're this person who's supposed to help them, evidently the change that needs to transpire in you is what's going to trigger them. Because I know there are things in Angela, we've, you know, 25 years, we've had a lot of time to pray about each other. I like to say pray for. A lot of times it was praying about each other. God, did you see the way she talked to me? Are you going to stand there and take that? God says, no, but you are. Now, I want you to see the reason why she reacted the way she reacted. Kind of like the comedian, the Christian comedian, I can't think of his name. He's talking about his wife. And he finally realized anytime he'd say something, it would start a fight. And he just said, I just said something, didn't think about it. And then he said something one day, and he looked at his wife's eyes. He said, what did you hear me say? What she may have heard might have been different than what you had said. Kind of the whole point of, I wish exclamation points and commas and all the proper punctuation could be visible. But God will change us if we will let him. And we do not have to be walking around, oh, Lord, this is such an awful world. You know, I mean, I understand the world's not a pleasant place all the time. But you know what? I do not hate this earth. I don't care for the world system. It rejects Christ. And when Christ does come to rule and to reign, oh, happy day. But I've learned to love the people. And I've even learned to love the planet a little bit. I'm not a guy that's, you know, listen, I'm not a tree hugger, but neither am I a, let's go wipe out all the mountaintops. You cut down the trees on the mountains, feel free to replant them. Like I said, there's a balance. There's a balance. Your oil does not go in the creek. AutoZone will take it for free. There are a lot of shops that use it for fuel for their furnaces. Recycle it. There's things that we can do. We can change. I can change. That's what you need to start telling yourself. I can change. All right, let's stand. I don't even want to go down the road that just became a thought. Not every thought that comes and pops into your mind is of God. Nor should it be verbalized. Come on. Oh, praise God. You know, in spite of what happens in your week and in your day, good will always come. If you keep trusting and believing God. In one day, I was going to surprise my wife. We got into our new bedroom. But I was going to surprise her on Tuesday, wasn't it? Or Monday? Monday. And I was going to have the hole cut in the side of the house for the new doors and all that into the den area. And I have plaster walls with lath. And so I was using the angle grinder and a diamond saw blade to cut down through there. Had a tarp stapled to the ceiling, to the floor, and to the walls. Had the other doors open to create a vacuum. And in the process, while I'm cutting, and I can't see my hand in front of my face because of the dust, I hear a door further in the house slam. And I'm like, what was that? So when I stopped, the dust kind of settled a little bit, and I saw that the wind had ripped my staples out. And when I walked through the house, I left the bedroom door open. We left the bedroom door open. We're sharing that blame. There was a nice coat of dust throughout the entire house, from the kitchen all the way. This morning, I had to actually clean the inside of my shoes out, and they were in the closet. And but, you know, I was like, oh, I told her, so, honey, I'm so sorry. And she's like, that's all right. And I know she had to clean up the majority of the mess, because I had a bigger mess over here to have to finish. And so we went out to sit on the front stoop and eat lunch, and the wind was blowing. My paper plate took off. The dog went after it. He got it. I said, bring it here, buddy. Bring it here. And I'm reaching down. Okay, the deck is probably about this high off the ground. I'm in one of those collapsible chairs, you know, the cloth ones that collapse. And I'm reaching over. There's no rails on it yet. And I'm reaching down. And, you know, a puppy, they don't want to give you their toy. They want to act all stupid. So he turns his head. He's kind of smiling as he keeps curling around. And I keep reaching, unaware that my chair is spreading and the legs are spreading further apart. And in a flash, the one leg fell off the porch. And it's amazing how 185 pounds, how fast it can pick up speed when you're going to fall on your face. And I hit my face on the stone down around the house. It's still a little tender. And I'm just laying down there, hurt my arm, and I'm laying down there on the ground, just kind of on my face. And Angela's like, "Oh, honey, are you okay? Is it your shoulder? Is it your shoulder?" I said, "No." I said, "It was my head. My head hit first." And I'm laying there, and I'm just thinking, "Lord, can I just go back to bed, start this day over?" You know, and you know, hips a little jackered, back's a little sore. And, but you know, out of all of that, God showed me that if I had continued and held on to boo-hoo baby attitude, well, we wouldn't have got to sleep in our bedroom Thursday night. A little ibuprofen, I'm good. Maybe a lot of ibuprofen. But a couple years ago, I promise you, I would have thrown such a fit. I would have threw the chair out into the road, kicked the dog possibly. I mean, I ain't going to lie. I've not always been a good person. But I've changed. I've changed. We can all change regardless of how we were trained, how we grew up, what was said, what was done to us. You don't need to keep holding on to yesterday. If you're tired of yesterday, drop the excuses. I'm tired of dragging yesterday around. I want to go to the future. And, you know, from what I keep hearing, the future is really awesome. Jetpacks and hovering cars and stuff. If you remember, that was supposed to happen in about 2000. But anyhow, let's pray and I'll dismiss you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for your the example of a loving Father that you gave us in the prodigal son. Lord, we thank you that we can all change our parenting, our people skills, our relation skills with our spouse, Lord. We do not have to continue the same cycle over and over. That we can recreate and become something new and start afresh. Just as your word says, that if we are in you, we are now a new creation. So Lord God, I call that forth for all of us in here. Every believer in here, Father, I call forth a renewing of their mind, a renewing of their spirit and of their heart, Lord. That they understand they are a better person. That they will be a better person and they will continue changing from one degree of glory to the next. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them. Lord, as I know many of them have multiple things happening this week, I pray that you bless them as they go, they travel. Father, for any appointments that they have, Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom and inspiration. In Jesus' name, amen.